At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1 with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
What's up, boys and girls? We're back. It's the HVAC Know-It-All podcast. And it's funny because I get a lot of feedback from mail texts. Hey, man, I love your podcast. Hey, man, listen to the podcast last week. It was awesome. But I never get any feedback from female techs. So I don't know if any are actually listening on a regular basis. If you are listening, I would love to hear feedback from a female perspective on the podcast and how it's helped you out, how some of the guests and maybe even what I've said has helped you out along the way in your career. That feedback to me is kind of what helps drive this thing. Helps drive the bus, okay? Good or bad, because the positive stuff, yeah, I take it and I enjoy it. The negative stuff, I might not enjoy, but it kind of helps me find out maybe what I could be doing better, all right? So if you have feedback, I'd love to hear it, especially if you're a female, I'd love to hear that feedback. On the podcast today, we have a couple of genuine fellows, guys, out of New Jersey. They own their own company called Air Movement. Okay, their names are Elon Shapiro and Mike Galea. And these boys are going to tell their story and they're going to be 100% honest. You're going to listen how they couldn't afford a coffee at one period while owning the business. These are the struggles that a lot of business owners in the beginning go through, but you can't give up. You got to keep chugging along. You got to keep pushing through. And the story that you're going to hear from Elon and Mike is exactly that. Okay. They don't hold anything back. Awesome dudes. Okay. Listen up. And I got a special announcement after this segment, after the opening. Just listen up. I got a special announcement. I'm going to try to give back to this world in a special kind of way. And I hope it works. And I hope you guys can be involved in that. This is the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. I'm your host, Gary McCreed. All right, I've been thinking on how I can give back on a much grander scale. Now, I've got an idea. I think it's going to start very, very small. And I'm hoping that it can grow into something much larger over time. Now, when I say give back, I don't mean giving tools to techs through giveaways, because let's face it, most techs that are employed are making some half decent money and can probably go out and buy their own tools. Okay. Most. I'm not saying everybody has money to do that, but a lot of us do have the means to go out and purchase our own tools. So I'm thinking something a bit different, a bit bigger. And if you don't know what affiliate marketing is, I'm going to tell you what it is and how I think I can leverage it to do some good in this world. Affiliate marketing, basically, here's an example. A blogger that writes blogs. They will put a link in their blog that sends the reader to company XYZ. Company XYZ will say to the blogger, here, I'll give you this link. If people buy products with this link, will give you a percentage of what they buy. That's how affiliate marketing works. I've never been a fan of affiliate marketing because I feel like you have to turn into a salesman to get people to click on it. I like to demo products. I like to review them, demo them, use them on my jobs. And if somebody likes the product and likes the features of it, then it's up to them if they want to go buy it. Okay. And all day I will demo products for my sponsors because they are sponsoring HVAC know-it-all and helping this project out. So I'm going to help them out by demoing their tools. If you guys want to buy them, hey, that's great. I don't receive any percentage from it. Okay. And that's the difference between what I do and being a salesman. But I think that I have figured out a way to leverage affiliate marketing to do something really, really good. KC Tool, guys, if you guys haven't heard of them, they're the biggest distributor of German hand tools in North America. All the sexy German hand tools you see, like Wera, Weha, Nipex, Philo, those tools. I posted a picture of a little mini ratchet set online. Some of you might have seen it. Some of you might have got the gist of what I'm going to talk about here. And that included the affiliate marketing link. Okay, and this is why I'm doing it. So about 3.5 years ago, my niece was diagnosed at 6 months, by the way, with a rare eye cancer called retinoblastoma. She had to have one of her eyes removed, okay, and the other eye had to have radiation. She had to have chemo to save her life and to save her eye. She's 4 now. She's healthy. Okay, she's happy. But all of this treatment happened at the Sick Kids or the Sick Children's Hospital in Toronto, Ontario. Sick Kids is what everybody calls it. Families from all over the world take their kids there. From 0 to 18, the families are able to stay free in Ronald McDonald House if the child has to stay there for an extended period of time. It's a fabulous, fabulous hospital. One of the leaders in research in child cancers and all that kind of stuff. Fabulous hospital. So I want to give back to this hospital because I got a soft spot for kids. All right. And seeing how my niece was treated there, seeing how they saved her life and saved her other eye, you know, I just thought giving back to them would be the right thing to do. So the affiliate link I set up, basically, when you guys see it, if you guys see me showing off a tool from KC Tool, there's going to be an affiliate link that you can go to. And if you want to purchase a tool through that affiliate link, you're free to do so. Okay. Your choice. But what I'm going to do is that account, that affiliate account that's collecting money, 50% of that I'm going to donate right back to Sick Kids Hospital. The other 50% I'm going to use to grow the brand of HVAC Know-It-All and help with some of the other expenses that I have. Because I do have expenses from doing this, believe it or not. So that is my plan, to give back on a grander scale, is to give to the hospital that saved my niece's life and saves lives of children every single day. So guys, when you see it, that's what it's there for. Okay? It's not a cash grab for me. I want to give back, and this is how I'm going to start doing it. Cheers, guys. Thank you. All right, I'm not going to stop jamming this down your throats, guys. The Testo promotion, the spring promo that's on until May 31st, is phenomenal. If you purchase a digital manifold, a 550, 557, or 570, you get a free Weha toolkit, insulated tools, okay, side cutters, needle nose, and 3 screwdrivers. And not only will you look like a rock star pulling up to the job site with your Testo digital gauge set, but you'll also have a cool insulated tool set to go along with it from Weha. That's a mail-in rebate, guys, $100 value. So check that out. You have until May 31st. I had a chance to rock the NAVAC 4-port manifold gauges this week. Not digital, they're compound gauges. The N4A3H comes with 4 hoses in the kit, 3/4-inch hoses, red, blue, and yellow, the 3/8 hose, which is vacuum rated. The thing is, it's impact resistant. It's got a folding hook on the back. It's got a sight glass in the middle. Okay. The needles, they don't flutter whatsoever when you have it hooked up to a system. I have it on Facebook. You got to scroll back. I got to flip it to a YouTube video, which I will do shortly, but they're a cool set of gauges. I'm telling you that right now. If you guys are in the market for a recovery machine, the Yellow Jacket YJLTE is not only super fast, because I own one, super fast and lightweight, but it can also take a shot of liquid. I pumped liquid straight to this thing on purpose to see if it could take it, and it can. And it will continue to do so. Yellow Jacket's been around for almost 7 years, so, I mean, they're at the top of their game when it comes to this stuff. So if you're in the market for one lightweight, fast, and can take a beating, check out the YJLTE recovery machine. So in the spirit of truck stock, we're going to be brazing up the infamous TX valves, reversing valves, hot gas bypass valves, any kind of valve, you name it, even filter dryers. We want to protect that stuff. Viper wet rag, it's like a putty, heat absorbing putty. You put it on, it protects the valve, okay, superior to a wet rag that's soaked in water. Far more superior. More heat blocking technology in the Viper wet rag than in a soaked rag in water. So check that out. Have it on hand in your truck for all these valves that you're probably going to be brazing in during the summer. And again, in the spirit of truck stock, Cool Air Products, grab some AC Smart Steel Seal, pardon me, external for those unique situations to get you out of the jam. Out of the jam, you're going to be in more than one jam, out of jams, okay? And AC Smart Seal, internal leak sealant, oil-based, non-clogging, non-toxic. You guys check that stuff out. It's well worth your time. I've tested it, and I know it works. The other thing I wanted to mention, TrueTech Tools is not only an online tool store, but they also care about the techs because they provide educational information on their website. I came across an article on their website that explains the difference between charging with a TX valve and steps and charging with an orifice or piston or a capillary tube and steps. And there's some charts on there and whatnot. So I'm going to put that link into the podcast notes so you guys can check that article out. And as always, guys, 8% promo code know-it-all, the Testo stuff. I will leave the link in the podcast notes as always.
What's up, guys? How's your night?
What's going on, Gary? How you doing?
I'm okay, man. Mike, you there?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm here. Going good.
So, guys, how was your day today? Good, bad, ugly? What happened?
You know what? It was pretty good. Can't complain. Good news. Nothing bad. Some weird stuff ran into, you know. A normal day. Can't complain.
Yeah. Yeah, so you guys are obviously from New Jersey, because as the minute that you guys open your mouth, you can tell.
you can hear the accent.
Oh yeah. All you guys from New Jersey, you guys all sound like, you might not be scary, but you guys all sound scary just because of the accent.
Well, we look scary too.
Yeah.
The accent got me out of a lot more trouble.
Oh, I'm sure. If you guys came up here and just turn to somebody and said, what, with that accent? Yeah, they'd be running the other way.
Mike was out there for a little bit. He scared a couple of people out there.
Oh, where? I
worked out in Toronto for a little bit, doing like searching for like stray electric voltage. There was a situation like a dog, a lady got electrocuted walking her dogs, and they started a whole program about it. And so they fly us out to Toronto, and I go out there for like 3 weeks at a time. But this was years ago, maybe like 5-6 years ago.
No way. So how did you get involved in that?
I started in as like a temp, and I started working there. And they went in through a union vote like right as I started. So they were either supposed to like hire me or fire me within 2 or 3 months. And because of the union thing, they couldn't do no hiring or firing. So I stayed with them for like a year and a half. It was awesome. I was going out to Toronto. It was based in all the boroughs in New York, but I was taking advantage because I was single at the time, going to Toronto and staying out there 3 weeks at a time. I loved it. I love the city. It's a great city.
So this was like, so what, you were like in an electrician or something at this point, or an apprentice?
I was an apprentice at the time, but we would be driving around. I don't want to say too much of the company. I don't know if it's, but we would drive around. They had a special machine on the back, and it would like pick up monitor sounds of the bolt. If we passed, it had cameras also. If it passed and touched something that peaked, we'd get out. We had our meters. We would check things, and we would cone it off for then an electrician to come, and you know, we would then observe and stuff onto there.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man.
That was a great learning experience too. And I got to travel around.
Yeah, so which part of Toronto were you guys, or were you booting around in?
I went all around. I mean, I think they called them each by wards. I think each spot was called like different ward. It was like ward 1, 2, or something like that.
Yeah, that's just how they'll separated up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't even tell you where we're based out of. I don't even remember. I know I was working in like downtown city of Toronto for majority of the time I was there.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful city. I really enjoy. I don't live downtown. I live like way north of downtown. But when I go down there, I have a lot of fun. So Elon, what got you into the trade, man? Like, how did you get started in all this?
So, pretty much, I've been doing, like, general construction my whole life since I was, like, 16 years old. It's weird. Buddy of mine, his dad ran a company out in Staten Island when we were younger. And we just always I always wanted to help out and always had a tendency to build things, you know. Growing up, we were building clubhouses in the woods, and I loved it right away, picked up on it. So I did general construction for a while with him and led into that. And then kind of went on my own when I got a little bit older, and I kept doing that in and out. My parents have a restaurant out in Brooklyn, so that's kind of what I grew up on.
Yep.
So it was always between either that or construction, going back and forth. But then construction got a little out of hand and annoying, and I met up with an HVAC guy. I started doing some HVAC work with him for about 4 or 5 years, and it totally changed my whole perspective of the field and everything. So I kind of was like, you know what? I don't want to deal with construction anymore whatsoever. I just want to stick to HVAC. But out here in Jersey, you need to get a license to kind of do stuff on your own. You can't just, you know, be EPA certified and go and do whatever you want. And I always wanted to own my own thing, and I always did my own thing. I never really, you know, I did work for somebody, but I was, you know, my own boss kind of always, how it was. And I married, 2 kids, and I kind of told myself, you know, if I don't do this now, I kind of never will. So I started looking around, and I found Lincoln Tech with their program that I could kind of cut out a long time, 4 or 5 years of working with somebody to get my license, because they had to kind of, I had to give them a whole bunch of paperwork, and the guy had to vouch for me, and then I had to go take a state test. So it was like a whole process that kind of I was ready to take the risk. And Lincoln Tech kind of helped me out that, because they cut that time in half for me. And that's the route we went.
That's cool. So did you guys meet at Lincoln Tech?
No. Me and Mike have been friends for 20 plus years.
Oh, okay. Cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we always been, but you know, he did his own thing. I did my thing. But then when right before I went in and found out that I'm going over here, he was working for a factory doing his thing. And I was like, you know what? He needed to settle down, and we needed to find something that we're going to do for the rest of our life. So I told him about my idea. He liked it at first, but he wasn't kind of ready to take that jump. And I forced him, man. I was like, yo, this is what we have to do. I'm telling you, let's go. And he said, fuck it. And he did it. And we went. and we treated 11 months in Lincoln Tech, and it was the best 11 months of our life. I mean, we met so many people there, and the things that we learned that we thought we knew, it totally changed everything, and it was great. And we're together already now, 2 years already out of school, working nonstop.
That's awesome, man. So your company, you guys own that, right? It's just the two of you?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so did you guys start that right out of Lincoln Tech? Like, you guys came out like, this is our company, that's it, we're going full bore?
Yeah. Can I take off now on that?
Yeah, Mike. Mike, jump in, man.
Definitely.
It's actually kind of funny. We were sitting in Mr. Rick's class, and
yep.
Just in the four major things in air conditioning, and he's writing down on the board: temperature, humidity, air cleanliness, and air movement. And we always had thoughts of, you know, what our name was going to be. We were thinking about, while we were in school, we were still doing construction. And he just came the next day to me and said it. He was like, air movement. And at first, I didn't like it at first, but it just stuck on me. And it kind of like, it sounded like simple but perfect, you know?
It is. You know what? That is a fantastic name, because the air has to move in order for all of the shit that happens within a heating system and a cooling system to take place. If the air's not moving, nothing's going to happen. So that is a fantastic name. It's like grassroots. It's basic. It's simple. But at the same time, it lets everybody know exactly what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Right.
When something hits me, I don't stop until it either happens or it totally fails. Like it's one or the other. And this right. one, it went, you know. In our area, we have a lot of air groups, air this, air that. And I looked around, I was asked, you know, I was like, wait a second, air movement, it's right there. How did nobody even like take this? You got air maintenances, you got air this. Why didn't anybody take this? And, you know, they're big companies. And I checked, it was available, and we did it, you know, we locked it in. It took Mike maybe to take the end of the class, which was like 2-3 weeks to catch up. And that's it. And we went with it.
Cool, man. So Mike, back to you for a minute. How did you get into the trade? Besides you guys discussing this and like giving each other the push to get in, like, did you come up? I know you talked about how you drove around and checked for the electrical signals and the voltage, but did you come up in any other trades and all that, or how'd that all work for you?
No, growing up, I always was bouncing around in jobs. I mean, like Moose said, we always did construction and we always had projects going. Like, we, at a young age, we built a liquor store. We like customized the shelves. So always did that on the side, but I try to do different things. I even studied for my Series 7. I didn't know what I was going to do in my life. I was trying to become a stockbroker. Took the Series 7 a few times. Got like a 70, and they changed the score to 72. It like crushed. I had no idea what I was going to do. I was out of work for a little bit, and I went and took a factory job for like $10 an hour just to get a job right away. And I worked myself up a little bit, and Moose kind of like begged me, like, yo, you need to come and go to the school with me, take a year. And I wasn't ready to do that, because that meant not going to work, and I was going to school full time. So I was thinking about income, and thank God he did push me, because that worked out great. But to get back to the beginning, I did HVAC work with a guy, and, you know, me and Moose worked with him also, and it was a great experience learning with him. But you know, we parted ways, but we always knew we wanted to do this. So from going into school, it was pretty much like, you know, kids in there were looking for jobs and everything, and that was my thing too. I wasn't even gonna go with Elon. I was gonna go to a company, go put some years in, and then come back and bring something else with me and him to the table. I was thinking about benefits. I was thinking about security. My father is very big onto that, you know, and I respect it too, but I also want to, you know, I got one, like, I feel this shot right here, and I'm going with it full 100% force, you know?
Yeah, that's good for you guys, man. Like, you guys, you, at some point in your life, you have to take a chance with something. and a lot of people, like, I don't know if you listen to Gary Vaynerchuk. You guys follow him on Instagram?
Yeah.
So one of the things he says is that the worst thing that you could do is be like 90 and sit and like when he says, when he talks to like a 90-year-old, like, I don't know if he's actually talking to them or if he's using as an example, like talking to a 90-year-old and to look into his eyes and see nothing but regret. Like, I should have done this and I should have done that. You know what I mean? So the fact that you guys took the jump and did what you wanted to do, I commend you guys for that, because a lot of people, they're scared to do it. And I mean, when I was like, how old are you guys?
I'm 35.
35. How old are you?
I'm 33.
33. Okay. So, I mean, I'm just a few years older than you guys. And I mean, at the point of my life I'm in right now, I can't see myself doing this. That's why I started this HVAC know-it-all thing with the podcast and the website, because I wanted something that was mine. Because see, in my area, man, it's so cutthroat. Like, I don't know what it's like for you guys. It's so cutthroat here. So first of all, I have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops and all these regulations and pay all these fees to get my business. And then everything is cutthroat. Everybody's slashing everybody's pricing, and it brings down the level of work. And it's just not something that I want to be involved in. So I started this because I feel this is a more positive thing I can do to help the industry. But I commend you guys for doing it. But what I want to know is, like, so here, like, when I come out of school, I came out of school when I was 19, or I think I was 20 maybe, out of trade school, but I had to do a 5-year apprenticeship and get a license. So how did that work for you guys? Are you guys fully licensed, or did you have to do some form of an apprenticeship underneath like a mechanic for a while?
So, yeah, pretty much that's what I'm saying with the school, how much it helped.
Yeah.
If we didn't go to Lincoln Tech and get accredited over there and all the papers, we would have had to do at least 5 years under a company out here and then be able to go take the state test.
Okay.
There's not too much involved. It's just you have to work with a licensed HVAC company for 5 years, and then they have to write a recommendation, like a letter stating that, you know, how long you worked for, what your pay was, you know, all that stuff. And then you could send that in with an application fee to the state, and they, you know, they call you to come take a test.
Yeah.
But with Lincoln Tech, when you do that 11-month program, that allows you to only need 2 years with the company.
Oh, really? Eh? That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the big thing, because I was like in and out with an HVAC guy. I knew, a guy out here. I worked with him, and then I went to school. So I kind of, you know, that helped me out. And right out of school, we started doing some work for him. He was sending us, do this, you know, and he was really busy. So when it was time, I asked him, he wrote me what I needed to write. We went, applied for the state test. I went, I took it, and just, you know, from learning what we learned at Lincoln Tech, you know, we got what we needed. That was the goal. And honestly, I thought I could do it without Lincoln Tech. And after going there, I was totally wrong.
Yeah. Schooling helped.
The helping of the years, but the knowledge we learned and the relationships also with Rick Resigno. I still call him, you know, to this day, asking advice, tips, guides, you know.
Oh, Rick is cool. He's a smart guy, but he's also cool shit, man. So, I mean, I'm sure.
Two days ago, we sat in his classroom, and I was just missing being in there. We talked to some of the students, and I was just missing being in his class. He makes it fun and interesting, you know, because it is interesting what we're doing. We're scientists out there, pretty much, you know.
Yeah, is that why he puts on the white lab coat and puts the goggles on his forehead to make it look cool, or So
I said he needs to get the kids involved, entertained. So
yeah, no, he does a good job with it. I've seen some of the videos he posts, and that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys. When I did my like pre-apprenticeship course, it was 2 years long. There was an option of a third year, but it was more geared towards like engineering, like load calcs and air balancing calcs and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't do that. year. I just did the 2 years and I got a job. So that was one of the main reasons that I left after the 2 years. So in 11 months, how are they condensing that down? Like, obviously I can't tell you everything I learned in the 2 years, but 11 months seems like a short period of time to learn a lot about what's involved in the trade of HVAC. So like, what are they teaching you in that 11 months?
So it definitely is. Like, we, you know, we come here, I don't recommend to anybody, you know, to go straight out of Lincoln Tech and open up their own company. It's just that I had it in me, you know, since the beginning. That's what I did. I knew it. Some kids, you walk in, we were in class with kids, didn't know how to use a wrench, you know? So it's like comparing, you know, apples to bananas.
Not even know how to use a wrench, how to read a tape measure, you know?
So if for kids like that, their basic thing is in 11 months, they're going to get them ready for sure to go work for a company. And that company, you know, usually companies, they have training for you. They could offer all that stuff, you know. So that's kind of how that works. I knew a little bit more, you know, with being in construction and working for an HVAC guy, two different guys. So it kind of like worked out. I knew right away, like, I could handle the basics, and then it's a learning process from there. And the Rick and a couple other teachers out there went above and beyond because they seen what my goal was, and they helped me to get that and accomplish it, and they definitely did.
That's awesome. So let's fast forward to now. You guys are running a successful business. So what kind of work are you guys doing?
So we try to we do residential, commercial.
Okay.
Of course, we didn't come into it doing that. We try to stay only residential, but commercial just started coming in. We got a couple of friends that have restaurants. We took over those contracts, and now Facebook, you gotta love it. We get blasted all over Facebook, and people see in our area, and we just get so many calls daily now, and you know, we're getting a name for ourselves, and we're coming in. And the people are like, oh my God, you know, because we're honest. Our pricing is just exact. You know, I'm not that guy who's going to kill everybody, but I try to stay where we have to be. We're newcomers. I'm not going to charge an arm and a leg. I'm not going to, you know, we do the right thing. And I believe that's why we made it boom, right out of school.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what? What you said about Facebook is very interesting. Because a lot of companies now, especially like one man, two man, like you guys, they're not spending money on an expensive website and the hosting fees, and they're utilizing Facebook and they're utilizing Instagram, and they're targeting. Because with Facebook, do you guys do the targeting, like pay like $10 or whatever, and then target people in your area, so the ads go straight to their phone and they see that you guys are in the area and what you're doing? Do you guys do that?
Yeah, so we've done that a couple of times, but you know what? I set the parameters, and I always do it, but I always find myself, people in different states get it, and not
really,
people in my area. Yeah, it's weird. So I always have an issue with Facebook like that. So it kind of, I never got the targeting that I wanted from that, so we stopped. We really don't pay anymore. It's just, honestly, we did a couple of, you know, four or five jobs for four or five new customers, and just their word of mouth went to one, to another. And we have, you know, how there's groups on Facebook page. So in the area we live, there's groups.
Yeah, I'm in a group like that. It's called like HVAC.
You know, and our name gets blasted more than the biggest companies in the area. So people start thinking like, whoa, what's going on? And we're getting calls, and a lot of calls. And, I can't complain. You know, this is what we wanted. It was the plan, and the plan is working.
Cool, man. So Mike, you were saying you were in a group. Is it like a community group that like people ask
Mike,
questions?
I was saying, I'm in a group like that on Facebook. It's called HVAC Hub.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's too many assholes on there though, man. We gotta get together and wrestle those guys down, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
we should get a slap competition. See how many stay.
It's so weird. Like you post something on Facebook and you get murdered,
and you post something on Instagram and people just show a lot more love, you know? It's weird in that sense, but
I'm going to give you my theory, okay? This is my theory on why Facebook is a lot different than Instagram. And this is my theory. And I'm not trying to throw this certain entity under the bus, but we've all heard of HVAC hacks, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. They're huge on Facebook. They got like 150,000 followers or 200,000 followers or something in that range. Right. So two and a half years ago, this is kind of how I started HVAC Know It All, just reading posts, like seeing pictures and reading posts. So everybody would be posting their crappy installs or someone's crappy install. And then everybody just started shitting on each other. Right. And it created a culture that HVAC groups, that's what you do. You shit on people. And that's how you act in these groups. And then when I started the HVAC know-it-all thing, and I started seeing the same thing. And I'm like, no, man, I didn't start this for this. I started it for this reason. And I started fighting back. And some people wouldn't get it. Some people they did. They apologized. Some people had to remove. But my mission was to create something positive. And that's my theory, that HVAC hacks started something negative because their posts are all based on negativity. Nobody says, look at this piece of crap install, this is how you fix it. They're just like pointing and laughing at it, right? And it created this culture. And when Instagram came along, and I don't know if you guys know who Andrew Greaves is, aka HVAC. He's a big YouTuber for HVAC videos and stuff. He's on Instagram as well.
Yeah, we saw him in Atlanta.
Okay, that's right. So he said something interesting to me about Instagram, that you're following people that you want to follow, right? So if you're following that person, obviously you care about what they're doing and you enjoy what they're posting and you enjoy their content. So why would you say something bad about them? In a Facebook group, it's just a whole bunch of people jammed in together. We might not like each other, so everybody just hates on each other, right? It's a really hard culture to break, and I don't know if it can be broken. I've tried, but I only have so much time and so much energy. You know what I mean? But that's my theory. It might be wrong, it might be right, but and what Andrew said kind of intertwines with all that and makes a lot of sense.
That makes so much sense. And it's like when we think about like posting and stuff too, like we know, like, you know, when we put stuff on Facebook and Instagram, we might put more funnier stuff on Instagram, and you know, that's where the slap cam and all that stuff started, because you know, nobody goes on Instagram and says, oh, my heating and cooling is down, I need to find somebody. Like, it's all, you know, on Facebook, we try to keep it more, show what we do in work. We put some of the funny stuff out there and all. But the overall community, I think, like, even on the internet, like, with the HVAC is, I love it, honestly, from all the people in the trade, like, HVAC Mafia, Tactical. Like you said, you said you kind of wanted to start your thing from watching see him do the HVAC hacks and think you could change it and do like that. Like, we would be driving, you know, stop to stop, just like every other tech, and in between I'm watching all these videos and like 945 just crying, lot laughing, you know, in the car from his videos, and like, and just thinking we should get our out there on the internet too, like that, you know. And so we started doing stuff like that. The slapping, we always done our whole life, even
yeah,
when we're not working.
That was one of the things I wanted to ask you guys about. So if you guys, I mean, everybody that's listening, not everybody's on Instagram and everybody's going to follow you there or me there, but explain to everybody what the slap cam is and how it kind of all generated, because I don't know the story behind it either.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, tell them.
Well, we always did it from when we were younger and stuff too. We would just, you know, out of nowhere, we didn't have cameras when we were younger, but it was all jokes. We grew up in a neighborhood with 20 boys and like 4 girls. So the boys were just always, you know, we were always just the boys, the group. We were the Sandlot boys and just beating each other up, building clubhouses and stuff like that. So that always stuck. That always stuck with us our whole life. So it just started. When we wanted to start recording it and stuff like that, we were thinking to just do something different to, like, you know, make people laugh, but also like make people want to follow us too that maybe don't like HVAC. So there's some basic rules, like, you know, the camera has to be recording. You can't just come up and slap out of nowhere. The camera has to be recording at least, and it has to be quality sound. Because if it's not a good sound, then it's not worthy of posting.
Yeah.
You can't be higher than a third step on a ladder. No power tools during any slap. That was safety first. And I don't know, rules are being created as we go along.
So I
have to take the day off, so we're still creating them as we go. He says I change rules every day, but I don't know.
You guys are going to have a slap cam code book soon enough, you know what I mean? Because the rules, someone's going to be sanding some fittings, and then you're going to get slapped, and the sandpaper is going to hit you in the eye. Then it's no slapping while sanding fittings anymore.
Yeah, no gloves allowed during the slap too, so it can't like whip you in the eye.
That's cool though. It's entertaining, and it's entertaining.
The ultimate slap will come like in the middle of the supply house or something when other people don't know. That's when it'll start getting entertaining, when we start getting brave.
Yeah, but it brings entertainment value to your page, and it shows the human beings in you guys. You know what I mean? So. That's cool.
Exactly. That's what we were talking about that too. We wanted to build our page. We wanted to build our followers. We didn't want to go out and pay for followers. You know, I wanted people to follow me truly because they want to. So we were thinking about, you know, what could we do different? We try, like, you know, we do the memes, some funny posts sometimes other than our work. But then I said to Boost a few times, you know, they need to see the person behind the camera sometimes. We need to show ourselves, you know, do this. Take picture of us working, or even, you know, that's when it came, like, even just slapping each other.
Yeah, man. So I don't want to keep you guys for too long, but I did want to ask you guys one question, and I want both of you guys to answer. Elon, you can go first. If you guys were going to give somebody advice, doesn't matter, young kid, somebody that's your age, somebody that's older, that's thinking about starting a business in this industry, what would you tell them?
So I would tell them to do it. Not right away though. Like, do it. Have your mindset to that you are gonna open up a business. But don't do it right away. You definitely need to have knowledge or help behind you. I had that, so it was easier for me. That's why I kind of always had it, like Mike said, I had it in my head that I'm going to school, and when I'm coming out, I'm starting my own thing. He was ready to go work for a company, and then we had it in play. If after the company he finished, he could come and we could go together, whatever it is. You know, that wasn't his goal to come right away, but it just wanted to happen. And that's what I said. If you have that, don't say no. I say yes. I say do it, but do it when you're ready. Don't wait too long though, but you know there's so much more to it on the back end with paperwork and all that stuff. You know if you're opening up yourself, you kind of have to know everything. I had a little easier, you know, my family had a restaurant when I was growing up, so I kind of helped my grandfather run it since I was like 11 years old. So I kind of had always like what steps are to run a business. So that's why it was kind of easy for me to always do stuff on my own, you know, run out and do something, not work for somebody, you know, so it was like that. But I would never tell somebody, no, to only go work for a company. I would tell them the more the merrier, but at least if you are going to do it the right way and do it when you're ready and you're settled, because it's tough. It's tough, man. We've been out of school 2 years. Really the first year it was hard for us. You know, there was days we couldn't buy a cup of coffee. So, you know, if you're ready to take that risk right away, you know, go ahead, man, do it. But don't give up. Even at the lowest, keep going. You gotta keep going, because it's when you pass that hill is when it all just, like, it's all uphill from there, man. You know?
That's
what I say.
No, that's great advice, man. When you hit rock bottom, if you hit that rock bottom, I mean, there's only one place you can go, and that's up, right? And
yep.
There's too many people that when they hit that, they give up because they don't think they're good enough. But they just need a little bit of motivation, right? So hopefully anybody
exactly.
that's listening that's in this position will take that advice from you. So thanks,
yeah,
man. Like that's really good advice. Mike, what do you think, man?
I would say pretty much the same thing he said, you know, like we really had, I don't want to say like an advantage, but we worked with a company before going into the trade school. So we knew the business going into there, and we, you know, Moose always had it in his mind that he wanted his own business. And I believed in him too. I seen it with construction. We had construction companies. We had hidden wire, a camera company. We tried to do so many different things with construction, and just the low points were there all the time. And I felt it. There was so many times we went, you know, like you said, without even a cup of coffee. I went without money, and just the sacrifice, knowing like we would be doing jobs, and you know, I would risk not getting anything because I know this guy's got to get paid first or the other one too, you know. And I accepted that for the will of the company, and I'm very proud now to say this, that I'm, you know, part owner of a company nowadays with my best friend. And we did it. We had those hard days sitting, like we would, you know, I'd be mad at him, fighting with him. Why are we not going out and doing a job right now? There's nothing coming yet. But we had to like stay, you know, faithful and hoping that it would happen. But the young tech coming in and trying to open up their own business, I would say, like he said too, do it. There's nothing really holding you back but yourself. But you need to have a strong plan and foundation behind you. We had a lot of tools already and stuff like that. And, you know, we work nonstop, 24, like I'll work overnight, come home, sleep for 2 hours, and we'll go back out sometimes too, just because we know and try to keep our overhead down. That's a big thing when it comes to it, you know, like you said, we don't really want to be spending much on stuff we can't for other advertising where we can't afford it. Keep our overhead down right now. And it's almost like Mr. Rick is one of the best guys to be, that I could say, teaching me, that brought me up, because he influenced me so much. So when I go back to the school and I talk to the other techs, I tell them about how there was kids I was sitting with in class that now are working at Burger King. They went to a trade school program, they had a great opportunity, and they're working at Burger King. But the trade school is not going to set you to go on your own right away. They're going to set you, like Moose said, to go with a company, and that company is going to train you the way they want to train you, you know. Maybe mm-hmm. one day we can get to that point where we can hire people and train them the way we want to train them. But it's hard, so we're still living in the struggle, but things are getting good. Like, and like you said, I wasn't going to go to a company right out of school. I wanted to get benefits. I wanted to go work for a company. I didn't want to worry about anything. And it just happened so fast, and jobs just picked up right away. And there was a little downtime in between, but the seeing what could be was right there. And now, like, we get calls. We got to go tomorrow, check out for a school. They want a contract for us. And I'm just like, wow, now we're handling schools, you know? And
that,
I feel, that, like, so proud.
That's
of
awesome.
Them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
So proud of
them. I'm glad you brought up the fact that you couldn't afford a coffee, because that's so powerful to me, because that just shows that you don't care about that and it slowing you down, because you're not there anymore, right? So that day that you couldn't buy a coffee, it probably drove you to say, you know what, this ain't happening. This isn't going to be me in a year. It probably drove you harder, right? That's what drives me, man. I'm telling you, like, when I do, like, if I get a bunch of tools and I start reviewing tools and somebody goes, you're only doing it because of that, or your videos suck. I'm like, yeah, keep bringing it, man, because all your negativity, it drives me to be better. So the fact that you couldn't buy a coffee that day, or the fact that you had no money, drove you to be better. And it's the failures in your life that drive you to be successful. Do you guys agree with that?
That's how I live my life.
I've been on the
That's
bottom.
I love a good challenge. It's what makes me go.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome, guys. That's a really good story, guys. I appreciate you guys getting on to the podcast to tell it, because there's so many other effects in your boat, or were in your boat, or going to be in your boat very, very soon. So this story is probably going to help them. Coming from real guys like you,
I hope we can help them and motivate them with that, because I mean, we talk to techs every day on Instagram. I don't know if you know Sam, HVAC Reefer Tech.
Yep.
He's a great guy, and we talk about it. He's interested in doing his own thing at one day, and, you know, he's another guy we talk to all the time. And, yeah, I love anybody that tries to go and do it on their own. I always root for the underdog in anything I do.
Yeah.
Any movie I watch.
Yeah.
It's something about when you – We just had this in us, and the struggle was there. Like the struggle, if you're not prepared for the struggle, then you don't deserve what comes after it. And I'm so happy that Moves kept me focused during the whole struggle, because I was ready to give up a few times. You know, I fight with my father still today about what I should do, but I believe in this company until the day I die. I'll die for this company.
Nice. Well, I mean, That tells me right there, you're going to be successful just with that attitude. 100%.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, boys. So let's wrap this up. Stay on the phone with me just for a couple of seconds. We'll say bye to everybody. Thank you very much, guys. I'll see you on Instagram. Definitely see you on the slap cam, because I love watching those. So thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Gary, thank you for having us, man. It was a pleasure. Keep it up, man. I hope to be able to listen to, you know, one plus podcast of yours a week.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. I'm trying to put one a week out there. So, well, we'll see how it goes. Doing my best.
Yeah, thanks again. Yeah, we love listening to the podcast. In between rides, in between jobs,
I appreciate it. Okay,
thanks,
guys.
You share.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
That was the first time we ever had more than one guest on the podcast at once. I had to call Mike, and then we had to conference in Elon. So there was three cell phones involved in that. And I was worried that we'd have some dropping out. But for the most part, it was pretty good. I did hear a little bit of feedback during that. I don't know if you guys heard that. If you did, I apologize. But that was the first time we ever tried something like that. And I think it worked out pretty well. That was a real conversation, real HVAC. Real life. It was down to earth. It was honest. And that's what I loved about it. So if you're going to take anything away from that conversation, take away this. If you want to run your own business, do it. Get the education you need. Get the things in place that you need to get in place, and do it. Because if you don't do it, you're never going to find out if you could have been a success or not. And it looks like Mike and Elon are on their way to success. So I wish you luck, boys. It was great having you on the podcast. Thank you very much. And in closing, guys, I just want to remind you of my new relationship with House Call Pro. One of the cool features of the House Call Pro app is when the tech is on their way to the job site, they hit a button on their phone, the customer gets a notification of that you set up automatically. Okay, you set it up and it automatically sends that notification out. Lets the customer know, which is really, really cool, because then they're not calling you, where's your guy, blah, 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 blah. So that is one of the cool features of House Call Pro. I'm going to leave the link in the podcast notes so you guys can check it out. Click that link if you're interested. If you're a business owner, you want to take your business to the next level, paperless, very, very organized, automated system, check out House Call Pro, guys. I'm out, guys. Happy HVACing.